So please turn your Bibles to 2 John, and Lord willing, we're going to cover two books of the Bible today, cover 2 and 3 John. Manita's smiling because finally he's going faster. Actually, it's not over yet. There's a chance I'm going to say, you know what, we didn't get as far as we thought, so we're going to have to do 3 John next week, but these are the last two epistles of John. He then wrote Revelation as his last writing, we know. It's believed that he wrote this from Ephesus. We don't know for sure. But in 2 John, there's only one chapter. Same for 3 John. So there's just 1 through 13 in 2 John. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. So, even though I emphasize a little bit, is it obvious what's important here? It's the truth is important. Why do you believe in Jesus? Because it's the truth. Why do you put your whole life and trust in a Jesus who you do not know and cannot see, you cannot see and put your hands on? He hasn't come down and proved himself to you, because the tomb is empty and the testimony of the apostles, the eyewitnesses, show and reveal it's the truth. And everything else, so then you're saying that everybody else is believing a lie and they're going to die and go to that. That's the truth. That's what the truth says, is that everybody that rejects the gospel of Jesus Christ is going out. Well, that bothers me. You're offended by the truth. And, you know, the truth is going to win out in the end. Everybody's going to come face to face with the truth. On the day of judgment, they're going to be face to face with Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And it's not, and he's not going to be impressed when people say, well, I didn't really think that you were the truth. I didn't think that what you said was the truth. I didn't think that your message of what it takes to be saved was the truth. I heard other things that I wanted to believe is the truth. It's not, believing a lie doesn't make it the truth. Verse 1, the elder, to the elect lady and her children whom I love in truth. Elder is John. And some people speculate that the reason he's not saying who it is because this would have been couried. You know, a courier would have taken the letter, and at the time of great persecution, which is already going at this time, in John's life, that if the courier, who's this from, the elder, who's it to, not named, woman, so where, you know, where do we dig up this group of co-conspirators? Well, they can't, you know, that's one conjecture, but John calls himself the elder, the elect lady. Some people say, and I don't know, so I'm going to just tell you what they say. Some people say it's an actual woman that had children that were there, that had somehow been taken probably by the woman's sister from verse 13 to be there with John wherever he was at Ephesus. And he's just writing to this woman. Others think it's the church, that the elect lady is the elect church. You know, the church is talked about in the feminine, could be talking about the church. It really, the message of the letter works for both. If it's actually a lady, again, they might have just left her name off for the reasons I said. And verse 13, it says, the children of your elect sister greet you. Well, if it was an actual lady he's writing to, then it says, the children of your elect sister greet you. So he had, the sister was there with John, and so her children were also greeting. It was a family greeting. But it says, the elder to the elect, going back to verse 1, to the elect and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also those who have known the truth. And Jesus, again, John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And all those who know love the Lord, love the truth, love Jesus. All those who love the truth, love those who love the truth also. And that's what he's saying. And the truth is what? The gospel. And I wanted to clarify some from Sunday night watching that video, that, and I said it doesn't proclaim the gospel. Let's define what the gospel is. Again, I've emphasized this before, but unless we say, which means good news, what is the good news? The good news is that Jesus Christ, and only Jesus Christ, can save us from sin. That we are sinners separated from a holy God. And that unless we repent of that attitude, unless we repent of fighting and rebelling against God and being under the influence of Adam and Eve's curse, which is, I have taken the fruit and I'm going to be like God and I'm going to decide what's good and evil. If I don't repent from eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and say, I want to stop, I want to never eat it again, I want you to be God, I want your law to be God, I don't want to invent my own law. And God, because I've already eaten the fruit and I've done all kinds of things because I thought I was living my life as if I'm the only one that exists and I can make those decisions, and I've done some horrible things against you and against people. And the very first thing that I ever did, I separated myself from a holy God. I rightfully should be separated. If we don't admit those things and say, and then God, you sent Jesus to forgive me so that I could have that everlasting life, so I could be forgiven. And that you could start changing my heart so that the effects of the poison of self-centered living, it changes because of the work of your Holy Spirit in my life to sanctify me by your word. Your word will sanctify me in truth. And Lord, that, and from now on, I am your slave, your master till you come. That is the gospel. If we say something less than that, be a good person. And that's what the church is saying today. If you just do a good thing or be a good person, then they'll say, we preach the gospel. But you haven't preached the gospel until we have. And the gospel is the truth. And I love in truth, and not only I, but also, verse 1, also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. So we have to just absolutely love that truth, and we have to embrace those of the church that are preaching and believing that same truth in love, which goes back to 1 John. Everything about 1 John is we have to love those who love our Jesus, because we can't be loving, saying we love God and then hate the people that God loves. There has to be that relationship. And again, 1 John 5:19, it ends. See, this is how 1 John ended, with this emphasis on truth. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. How could we say this in a different way in light of 1 John? We could say, we know that we are of God. We know that we are of the truth. And we know the whole world lies under the sway of the lie. The wicked one is the lie. He's the one that's made every kind of lie that there is. Because a lie is in opposition to the truth. And our friends and neighbors they're under that sway. We're praying for a relative here who went to college and he started believing the lies. Raised in the church, but believed the lies. Turned away from the truth to embrace the lie. And so our whole job as God's servants is to try and help people to come to the truth. To believe the truth and to turn away from the lie. Truth is often the casualty of war, people say, and we're certainly in a war, aren't we? We're in a spiritual war for the souls of people. Verse 3, grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. So grace, mercy, and truth, grace, mercy, and peace is only upon those who have embraced the truth. You don't embrace the truth, what is there? Is there grace? If you don't embrace the truth of Jesus Christ, do you get any grace? Grace is God giving you what you do not deserve. Is he going to give heaven? That's what we get. The grace of God is we get everlasting life and a mansion in heaven. Even though we were sinners, we don't deserve it, but God gave it to us as grace. Do we get that if we don't believe and trust in Jesus as our Savior? No. Mercy is not giving us what we do deserve, not giving us hell. Are people going to not be sent to hell who rejected the truth of Jesus Christ? No, because they've rejected the truth. And peace. There is no peace for the wicked, the Bible says. There's no rest for the wicked. There's no peace for the wicked. And the Bible declares in the truth, it says that everybody who rejects Jesus Christ is wicked. And doesn't matter if they're, you know, by the way, Jeremy he's gone tonight, not for mountain climbing issues, but for, there's a homeless meeting, you know, meeting for how to minister to the homeless in Kitsap County. we could just devote our whole life and, as a church to just homelessness, which we, I mean, we care about the homeless. That's why we're sending Jeremy there to find out what we can do. But if I just give somebody a tiny house, have I shared the gospel with them? No. Have I done them any good to give them to get them out? Have I done any good to get them? If I get them off of drugs, is that going to make them okay? Does that make me? Have I shared the gospel and won them over? No, not unless I give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the truth, which allows people to have grace, mercy, and peace. They'll have no peace. They can get sober and not have peace and grace and mercy. They can get off of drugs and not ever be saved. And if the church just emphasizes that's what we want to do, we want to clean up people's lives, that's we're doing what Jesus told us to do. Well, no, we're not. Because Jesus wants us to make disciples, teaching them all that he had commanded, which is to, unless you believe in me, you will die in your sins, is what he told Peter. Everything that Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and life. No one gets to God except through me. What good does it do to have a soul go into eternity that dies in a tiny house, sober and dry and warm? I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. And see what he's doing is saying that some, if it's a literal family of children, some of your children believe. If it's the church, some of your church believes. Again, my goal, I've said it more than once, is my goal is the rapture happens, nobody's here. But it would actually be statistically an unreasonable goal. Because there's going to be some people that are there coming for reasons other than to have a life-saving, changed life with Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so we rejoice greatly when we find children who walk in truth. Amen. Especially if it's your own children. I mean, there's no greater joy for a parent than to know, absolutely know, my son, my daughter is walking in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No greater joy, no heartache for a true believer, greater than to realize they're not. That they've been deceived by the wicked one. They've embraced a lie. They're off in the world. They're off believing the different lies of the devil, Satan. Verse 5, and now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. So emphasized in 1 John, which we've just been covering for the last few weeks, so I'm not going to belabor that, but except to say that love for the brethren is mandated, no exceptions. When people truly love the biblical Jesus, we have to love one another. This is love, verse 6, that we walk according to his commandments, which all 1 John repeat in that statement. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Do not walk in God's... His commandments govern how we love one another. So if we're not going to walk in God's commandments, then we're not loving one another. And what John is saying is if you really love God, you'll walk in his commandments, you'll do what he says. And the big thing about that is that we end up loving one another. Why? Because for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver. And an anti-Christ, or an instead of Christ. And we covered that in 1 John, what it means to confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And today it applies to every cult. They can say they believe in Jesus, but if they don't believe in the biblical Jesus, the one who saves and only he saves. There's a friend of mine that is he's a Catholic guy, and he's just really trying to win me over to, we're all serving the same God. And in a big way, this last, he came, there was a group of other people that were with me, and he just came in and he gives this whole schmeal that he just did in a blog that he sent me today. I'm going to have to talk to him about. And that is that, well, the symbol of the church is a circle, like the Eucharist, because he's a Catholic, he goes, the Eucharist is circle to show the universal truth of Jesus. And so the universal Jesus. And And he says, so, really, if you have Jesus in you, then you're Catholic. And in front of these other people, goes, so Kevin, you're Catholic. You're Catholic. And for the sake of everybody there, I go, not Roman. because there's one of the creeds of the church is I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Which creed is that? I forgot which one it is. But the Apostles' Creed. And at first I go, why in the world is a Protestant church saying this? We're not the Catholic Church. And then I realize Catholic does mean universal. So it's like, you know, we can't say that. We can honestly say we're part of the Catholic Church. But not the Roman Catholic Church. We are in the universal Catholic Church. But he's doing this whole thing with the Eucharist and stuff. And then he sits there and he gleefully, he says to everybody, and there's students there from the high school in the little area outside the pool. And he says, man, there are miracles happening everywhere. The church is coming together. I mean, it was that animated. I just go, oh, Lord Jesus, what am I going to do? And I'm going to ask him, I go, now, what are the miracles? And what is it that the Pope just spun you up with that makes you think the whole church is coming together? And see, this is the ecumenical formation of the global religion of the Antichrist is truly coming together. And see, he's seeing it and he's excited. He goes, we're all going to be together. Everything, let's just lay down all these little divisions and it's all coming back underneath the mother church. And Kevin, the miracles and the things that are happening. And I just was going, wow, we're getting close. We're getting really, really close. And I'm having to separate. So when I'm talking to guys, it's like without... Anyway, pray for me. I'd have wisdom in how to deal with that. But so many deceivers. The Pope is a deceiver. The head of the elders... The head elders, the head prophets of the Mormon Church are deceivers. The heads of the Jehovah's Witnesses are deceivers. The heads of every single person that's sitting out there in America today who feels like I've got my own religion and what I feel like when I die I get to go to heaven. They've been deceived and are deceivers themselves to preach that to other people. What we need to do is just be good to people. I believe in the golden rule. If you do the golden rule and you care about, you do unto others as you want them to do unto you, then you're going to go to heaven, like the atheist that was on the plane coming back from Florida from when I was in Haiti. You know, all those, they're all deceivers. They're all going out. Does everybody realize we are surrounded by almost nonstop, near universal, 90% deceivers? We're constantly surrounded by deceivers. Many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess that they need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, or they'll die and go to hell. Look to yourselves, verse 8, that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Wow, how can I look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for? Well, I mean, just like we're talking about relatives that grew up in a Christian home. They worked for having faith, but they didn't have saving faith. They didn't come to the saving faith. And so what good does it do to know your Bible and to know your memory verses and to lose those things you've worked for if you haven't received the full reward because you didn't really actually ever completely get pinned by Jesus? Let him win in the wrestling match of fighting God. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ is both the Father and the Son. You're truly saved if you abide in the doctrine of Jesus. Not playing church, not having other motives, but simply that you need a Savior. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. And so, you know, at the time, a lot of the church was being spread from house to house. And what John is saying is don't bring in ecumenical guys. Don't let somebody else that has another view about Jesus. Don't let somebody with a different Jesus come into your house. and say, we're all brothers, you worship the same God as I do, and everybody comes in and we all have this ecumenical kumbaya, he says, don't do it. You can't even have them into your house. And some people take this literally, and I've recently for a while taken it literally, although there's really nothing wrong because you're not taking them into your house to teach people in your house and house church. But I talk to the Mormons and J-Dubs outside. But it's okay. I mean, it is okay to bring them in because the idea is don't let them come in and teach. Don't let them bring this doctrine to your home. And then how can that apply in ways that we might not understand? Do we let doctrines of demons come in through our media, through the TV and stuff, and speak to our children, speak to our family unattended? See, that verse applies to that. If somebody is coming with one of these doctrines of demons, one of these many deceivers have gone out into the world to deceive people, and we let that flood into our children's minds, and we think that that's not going to have an effect because they've known the truth, and so they're going to repel the lie. John says, no, don't let the lie in your house. So we have to be careful of that. Otherwise, bad things will happen. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with pen, paper, and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greets you. Amen. So if he's saying the children were the congregants, the believing congregants in his church are greeting you, sister church, and your congregants that are believers, or it's an actual literal aunt and their children. So, 3 John, the elder, to the beloved Gaius, who I love in truth. And this isn't the Gaius of Paul's letters, his earlier, of Paul's letters. He's not the same Gaius, we know that. It's years later. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. And what happened is some traveling evangelists had gone to wherever Gaius is, and Gaius received them and sent them with provision. You know, it received them as sent by the apostles to spread the gospel. Yes, you're true believers. We love you. We love you because you preach the same Jesus. And we brought you in and we sent you out to continue on your journey with provisions. And when they came back to John, these disciples, these believers, came back to John and said, hey, when we went to this place, it was Gaius, and he received us. He's preaching the same Jesus. He's living in the same truth, and he sent us on our way. There was a camaraderie and a love instantly among those people, as there always is. In fact, when I travel the world in different places, you find a true believer, instantly they're family. Instantly you rejoice in what they're doing, how God's using them to spread the gospel, and they appreciate how God is using you and how the gospel is being preached. There's instantaneous joy, and that's what John is alluding to. You're walking in truth just like him. Just like we have been. For I rejoice greatly, verse 3, when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. The whole issue is because you walk in the truth. You're my brother because you walk in the truth. Yeah, we're so prone to just, hey, brother. But can we call them brother if they're not brothers? How do we know they're our brothers? Unless we know they're in the truth. That's what John is saying. Because just as you walk in the truth. Verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, and Gaius must have come to faith in response to John's ministries, it seems like, no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So Gaius had gotten saved, went off someplace, and when these disciples come back, these traveling evangelists come back, you know, man, Gaius is walking in the truth. He's still in the truth. He's spreading the truth. He sent us, he encouraged us. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. So, these these evangelists were going, and just like Paul did, he went to Greece and he preached the gospel to them at the Areopagus and just preached to them the truth. And Paul never wanted to take an offering from Gentiles. And so if somebody's going to spread evangelizing truth, then the church should help minister that so that they don't have to preach for bucks to everybody. And that's because we know what happens when the Gentiles feel like all Christianity is just for a money scam. When they watch TV, they see it all the time here. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. This is, we see church missions right here in 3 John. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. So when John must have given these guys an epistle to take to the church, and when they first showed up at to where the Diotrephes was as a church leader in his home or wherever, he said, hey, this is from John the Apostle, and we have a letter from the church. And what he said is, John's not the pastor here, and I don't receive his letter here, and I'm not going to let you read it to the congregation here, because I'm the leader of the church here. That's what he said. And what John is telling Gaius is, you know, there's this guy, Diotrephes, who loves to be preeminent among them, and he does not receive us. He does not receive my letter. He doesn't receive the men that I have sent. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. Now, see, here again, is that loving to prat against somebody with malicious words? And if John the Apostle, who was there with Jesus and has been for decades spreading the gospel, how can a true believer prat against the Apostle John with malicious words and be a believer? See, first John would say he's not a true believer, because a true believer wouldn't prat against John with malicious words to cause people to go away from John's teaching, because that's not loving. And how can I say I love God and then hate my brother John by prating against him with malicious words, disrupting the very gospel by which he's continuing to want to spread? Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. If somebody in his own church was saying, Diotrephes, I mean, that's a letter from John the Apostle. You want to go read his letter? Then leave the church. That's what he was doing. So some people say, you know, the church should just be in home churches. The first century church met in home churches. If we meet in home churches, everything goes right in the church. Not according to the home church had its problems too. It has all the problems that the home churches do around in the area to do. Big churches, small churches, in between churches, they all have problems. Why? Because the devil hates the church and he tries to infiltrate with prating and people elevating themselves and having other motives and malicious intents. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. What did he just say? He just said, he's not a believer. He's doing what's evil. This man is fighting the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ by the apostle himself, and that is evil. And if he does evil, then he's not of God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. So, John, in this letter, he names a false apostle, a false pastor, a false Christian, and then he commends Demetrius, has a good testimony. We've heard about Demetrius, and he has a good testimony. He loves the truth. Gaius, you love the truth. These other guys, they don't love the truth. And 1 John was all about we have to discern between those who truly love God and those who don't. not just discern it for other people, but we have to discern it for ourselves. First John, as I've said, was so that we would examine ourselves to decide whether we're in the truth. Do we really believe the truth? Are we willing? And see, when we really believe the truth about Jesus, in a sense, we have to be willing to hate the lie. Hate the lie so much that if somebody says, well, now, wait a second, can't you just go along and say that maybe this Mormonism is just another denomination of Christianity? Couldn't you just say that to keep us from being in turmoil here in the workplace? Because, you know, you guys are arguing, can't you just do this for the sake of Christ? For the cause of Christ, couldn't we do this? And you know, in this culture, as soon as you say no, because Mormon doctrine passed down by Joseph Smith and Brigham Young is an abomination to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I cannot go along with that. And then everybody rolls their eyes. Everybody hates you because you've just disrupted the workplace. You've just disrupted your family. You've just disrupted everything. And they don't want to talk to you anymore. And what are you going to do? We're living in a time where it's going to cost us dearly to hold on to the truth. And yet, it's what God has called us to do. It's what the apostles did. And it's what the Jesus inside of us wants us to do. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you for the truth. And we thank you, Lord, that how your Son never lied, never departed from the truth, never compromised the truth. For the sake of allowing us to be saved and to allow the darkness to be dispelled by the light, to allow death to be conquered by life. And Father, we just pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit living in us, you give us great courage in these days to continue to handle your word in a way that the truth is never compromised. Help us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand.
Very cool to be a sheep, eh? So, and the shepherd's coming. And he's going to, the sheep know his voice. And when he calls, and that trumpet blasts, we're all going to look up. And it's going to all be over. And everything else, all the tears are going to go away. And it's going to be so worth it. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.